chapter 10. The book of Daniel, chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me to corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he hath spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had thus spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. May the Lord add his blessing and understanding to that portion of his word. Well, we come this evening to look at this chapter, Daniel chapter 10. The previous chapter, chapter 9, is one of the most significant chapters in the whole of the scriptures, and whilst causing many problems in people trying to understand it. I hope we saw that its meaning is very plain. It's all to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the benefit of those who perhaps can't quite remember what we said, I've printed off just a single page, which is at the back, the reminder of the meaning of the 70 weeks, Daniel's 70 weeks, and I put that at the back just to help you to understand, because it is preparatory to all that we do. Tonight we come to another vision. In chapter 10, there are two parts for us to consider. First of all, it's the mediator of the vision. That's who brought the vision. The second is the actual message of the vision. Well, the message comes in chapters 11 and 12. Chapter 10 is like an introduction to this new vision, which is in chapters 11 and 12. But we come tonight to meet the person who brought the vision. It's another revelation from God made to his servant Daniel. This time we read it's in the third year of King Cyrus. I mentioned King Cyrus last time. He was the king that made the decree that the Jews could go back to Jerusalem after 70 years. And I mentioned that there is the cylinder of Cyrus in the British Museum, which you'll have trouble reading yourself, but it's the interpretation is there, and it backs up the scriptures when it says that the Jews were to go back to Jerusalem. So King Cyrus was the king of Persia, and he reigned at the same time as Darius. Darius was his delegate in taking over Babylon. But in all probability, this third year of Cyrus was the third year after Darius had died. So it was the third year that Cyrus ruled in his own right without this subsidiary. Daniel is given not so much, well, not just for his own peace of mind, but for the coming generations, a further revelation. And it's to be found in chapters 11 and 12. And it's very much to do with the coming days, but it does have great relevance to us, as all the scriptures do. We read in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Remember, he had those two names. It was Nebuchadnezzar that called him Daniel. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. And that's a reminder to us that these things are not tucked away for very clever theologians and speculators to work out times and seasons when the end of the world is going to come. Daniel understood what he was being told. So it's not all about the end of the world. Daniel understood the vision, though he was now very near the end of his life. He's about 87, 88. This incredible period of spiritual influence and usefulness that he had known. Well, he knows the revelation is true. It had not yet been fulfilled. But Daniel knew it was true. He could tell the difference between man's thoughts and God's thoughts. He knew this was authentic, and he understood the vision. Doesn't mean he understood exactly every detail of what would happen, but he understood what the vision was telling him about the future. We might ask, why, some 3 to 5 years after receiving that great revelation of chapter 9, why is he in such a state of fasting and prayerfulness? Because that's what we read here. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Why was he like that? Well, you might answer, well, why wouldn't he be? He's a great spiritual man, and it was often the fact that he was in a state, a condition of deep prayer and fasting. But here was a man always ready to hear what God had to tell him. But perhaps there was something special. God is about to reveal something deep and important. And in such times, God often gives men like Daniel some pre-realization. Something special is going to be revealed to you, and they need to be ready. So we find him fasting and praying in this way. I have to admit, I'm no expert on fasting. I don't think it always means eat or drink nothing absolutely but water. Daniel, however, ate no pleasant bread, so he took no tasty food, nothing that was like an enjoyable meal, no wine at all, and he didn't anoint himself. Means when he washed, he didn't apply the usual perfumery in those hot countries that men would apply for social gatherings, etc. He kept himself to himself during that time for 3 whole weeks. Now, 3 whole weeks, or 21 days, is a period which was disclosed to him as preparatory to receiving another vision. He was mourning, serious self-denying for those 3 weeks, reflecting on his sins and the sins of his people. Now, the text actually has the word days after the word weeks. It reads, till 3 whole weeks, comma, days were fulfilled. Now, that doesn't mean it could be 3 weeks, it could be 3 days. Now, what it means is, try to think of it in terms of days. We have the same in the book of Revelation, where we have a period of time mentioned in 3 different ways, in months, in days, and in weeks, or years, rather. It's to emphasize day by day by day by day. 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Possibly Daniel's serious dedication was because Cyrus had issued that decree, allowing all the Jews who wanted to return and rebuild the Jewish temple. In the book of Ezra, chapter 1, and indeed the same thing is in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, we read, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. Yet so few responded. When you read the numbers, which you have there in Ezra, and you know that there were millions of Jews at that time who had been taken into captivity and were actually living in Babylon now under the power of Persia, so few actually went back. The opposition was very great also, and strong opposition it was to the Jews trying to rebuild the temple and ultimately the wall of Jerusalem. News came back to Daniel of the slow progress of the Jews who were there, and he was aware that so few had actually responded. Some have asked, well, why didn't Daniel go back himself? Well, he's about 86, 87, and the Lord has actually called him to have a mighty influence in Babylon, resulting in the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar, a mighty change in the kingdom, and then successive popularity and usefulness in the kingdom under Darius, the Mede. So Daniel wasn't called to go back, but many of the Jews were told to go back, and so few responded. So Daniel is fasting and he's praying. It's a great burden to him. But we read in verses 10 to 12 of the willingness of the Lord to make things clear to Daniel. We read, in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river Hiddekel. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, and here's a description of the man that appeared to him, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Hiddekel was the Bible name for the river Tigris. It was one of the 4 rivers in Genesis chapter 2, which flowed out of the Garden of Eden. And Daniel was there now by the fast-flowing river. He has a vision, but he's actually physically there, by the river with certain other men. And the other men, the man who appeared to him, is of such stature and majesty that Daniel is reduced to sleep. And the description is so similar to that given of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation and also in Ezekiel. It's one far superior to any created being. And we've mentioned before, just for benefit of anyone that doesn't understand it, we have in the Old Testament what we call theophanies. There are several occasions when the angel that appears actually is more than an angel, the messenger of the covenant, and it's clearly the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to Jacob and wrestled with him, to Abraham when he was revealing that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, to Gideon, and in each case the person that is involved realizes they've been talking not to an angel but to God. The Lord Jesus Christ did reveal himself on several occasions in the Old Testament to his servants. He came before ever he was born at Bethlehem in human form to earth. And so Daniel saw the Lord Jesus Christ there by the river Tigris. He's ready to hear the words of his Saviour, and Christ brings refreshment when anyone is ready to hear his voice. If we're ready to hear him, if we're ready to understand, if we're unsaved and we need to come to the Lord and be made right with him, and we're willing and we're desiring and we're seeking, the Lord will appear to us. He will come. He will touch our lives. He will give us that faith to believe. And if we're Christians and we've perhaps known times of darkness or dryness and we really want to come back to the Lord and know him, why, Christ is ready. The Lord Jesus is always ready to bring refreshment and life whenever he speaks. And we read in verse 9, "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground." One is always very reluctant to venture into the area of how we pray in our prayer meeting. All I would say is, look at Daniel's prayer in chapter 9 and say, well, do I pray like that? Is there in my prayer that earnestness, that single-mindedness? And, you know, I would dare to say that the secret, if there is a secret, it's not a secret formula, but to seeing the Lord answer our prayers is if we pray more earnestly and more devotedly when we come on Thursdays to our prayer meeting and when we pray at home. Let's increase the temperature of our prayer life. So, do we expect God to answer? Do we feel the wretchedness in our own hearts that Daniel felt? The temple was in ruins. The enemy were winning. What is it like for us? Well, Islam is taking over our country. It's not from us, but from the weak, compromised, counterfeit church in our country. Islam is taking over. Are we concerned? Our church, well, we've seen, what, one conversion. Great, praise the Lord for one conversion in the last couple of years. But, oh, do we long for more? Do we so earnestly beseech the Lord that we can't stop praying until we know the Lord is going to answer? Our prayers need to be more fervent. They always do. No matter how fervent our prayers are, they always need to be more fervent. So, do we mourn? We can still be full of praise and joy and mourn. Did not the Lord say, "Blessed are they that mourn"? He wasn't talking about going to a funeral. He was talking about mourning for our sins. We should be mourning the fact that our church is in such a low state. The church in our country is so weak. Mourning our own personal sin and still full of joy because the Lord looks upon us with favour and will answer and will bless. So the reluctance of the majority of the Jews in captivity is to be compared with a lack of feeling today, a lack of desire to see the Lord's work revive, if it means more effort on our part. Why, here is Daniel, and he's 87 years old, and He is concerned. So should we be concerned. It's not the first time in Scripture that a faithful servant has fallen into a deep sleep upon hearing the voice of the Lord. Some of us find it hard to stay awake anyway, but on hearing the voice of the Lord, this faithful servant of God fell into a deep sleep. Well, Elijah did the same. If you read in Kings, fleeing to a quiet place when threatened savagely by Jezebel, he prayed under the juniper tree and he fell asleep to rise refreshed and ready to obey the Lord. So even though Daniel was feeling this great weakness, he heard the Lord. And behold, verse 10, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees. Remember, he's face down. Now he's set upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say to him? This man who was so concerned, and the Lord lifts him to his knees. Not standing up straight away, but to his knees, a place of prayer. A man greatly beloved, Daniel, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright, unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. The Lord has lifted him up. Daniel is brought in the Lord's time, not his time, from face down on the ground, asleep, to kneeling, and then standing. What moved him was the voice of the Saviour, that assurance he was greatly beloved, that Christ had come to specifically speak to him. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. When do you think God hears our prayers? You know, the seventh time that we bring them? No, as soon as, before even we pray them, the Lord knows our prayers. Thy words were heard, I am come for thy words. We have an insight here into the mentality of God's servant, Daniel. He set his heart. That's what the Lord says. From the first day that thou didst set thy heart. How do you set your heart? Is it like setting an alarm clock? No, it's like the Lord Jesus. When he was on the road to Jerusalem, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing would deter him. He would go. What was he going for? To suffer and to die for us. Here is God's servant, and he sets his heart to understand the truth. There was so much to understand, but he didn't take what is often a very common attitude. I'm just an ordinary Christian. You can't expect me to understand the book of Daniel. Book of Revelation, well, as far as I'm concerned, there's only 65 books, and then the 66th book, maybe I'll understand one day. It's prophecy. You can't expect me to understand that. Daniel's a bit complicated. I'll stick to the New Testament. Well, that's the view many people take on many complex passages. And even when you explain it carefully from the pulpit, you tend to get a response like, well, you might be right, but we can't really understand, can we? These different scriptures, these difficult ones. Here's the lesson. Never be content to say, well, I'm not going to understand it. It's too complicated for me. No, the scriptures are there for our understanding. And we haven't always got to understand every single little bit that's said. We need to understand what is being said and then ask the Lord, what does this mean? What does that mean? Daniel was deeply concerned to understand these visions about the coming days. A lot of them were about days after he died, but he's still concerned because it's his people that he's concerned about. He was troubled about that poor response to Cyrus's proclamation, and he chastened himself. He chastened himself before God. As though he was punishing himself, he restricted himself. He was assured by the Lord Jesus himself, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And so we have the Lord revealing truth. And what we learn here in verses 13 to 17 is that it was a battle for the Lord to reveal the truth. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Yet the vision is for many days. This is still the Lord Jesus speaking. He has something we will find hard to explain. But what we learn from this 13th verse is that the work of helping us to understand is not popular with our spiritual enemies. Satan doesn't want you to understand the truth. If you're not a Christian yet, Satan is so concerned to blot the truth out of your mind. If you are a Christian, he wants you to stay in a sort of spiritual Switzerland where you're neutral and you haven't really committed yourself. The Lord confides to Daniel. The 21 days that he fasted was a period during which the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that's a spiritual enemy, intent on holding back God's servant from understanding, the Lord enlisted the help of Michael the archangel to overcome the evil designs of Satan's agents. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells us the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. It's not just that there's some false religion which isn't true. They're sacrificing to devils. There are demons. There is an evil power at work in all false religion. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he tells us to put on the whole armour of God, to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the Lord says, I remained there with the kings of Persia. That's what transpired when Michael came to join forces with Christ. The kings of Persia, that's Cyrus, etc., are now influenced, they're going to be influenced not by these spiritual evil powers, but by good powers. And you see this in the change of mind. How could Cyrus, this dominating world conqueror, suddenly come to the conclusion that the Jews should go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple? Why did he decide that? Well, God tells us in Isaiah that he persuaded him. He made Cyrus his servant to be an instrument in bringing the Jews back to Jerusalem. So we see in this change of mind and the support given to these Persian kings that God overcame the powers of evil and the spirits of darkness. Artaxerxes was a man that in the days when the temple was being rebuilt and then the walls, the Samaritans wrote to and said, can you stop these Jews? And they searched and they found Cyrus's declaration that they should go back and rebuild. No, you're to help them, not hinder them, was the eventual result of that. And now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Yet the vision is for many days. The difficult part comes next week in chapters 11 and 12. The Lord now explains, Daniel's been perplexed by this lack of determination shown by his people. Jesus wants to give Daniel some idea of the future days for the Jewish people. It's not for the immediate future, but for many days. So verses 15 to 21, we have the new vision. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, I became dumb. And, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. This is an angel now. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said to him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, I have retained no strength. It's so overwhelming for Daniel. First of all, he's spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the vision is coming to him from an angel. How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. The main vision, as I say, will be revealed in chapters 11 and 12. Our chief lesson, though, from this chapter concerns Daniel and the spiritual battle he was involved in, because we're all involved in a spiritual battle. Look at his deep humility as he comes into close contact with none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity. Daniel finds he cannot speak in response, but he confesses his weakness. An angel revives him, enables him to speak. He knows the Lord is dealing with him. He feels completely overwhelmed at the very thought that he'd been in conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. The actual vision the truths revealed to Daniel form those two chapters, 11 and 12. Then once again, verse 18, there came and touched me like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. The Lord strengthens us to understand. He said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. The Lord doesn't tell us to be strong and then leave us to do some bodybuilding or spiritual bodybuilding. He strengthens us. And I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. That's when you come and you say, Lord, you're revealing great truth to me. Reveal more truth to me. Help me to understand more and more. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. The reign of the Persian kings was coming to an end, and the Lord describes it as fighting with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. And the prince of Grecia was Alexander the Great. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. And so we go on to find much truth concerning those four kingdoms prophesied in chapter 7, now given in great detail, and he has it confirmed that these power struggles between the kingdoms of this world were not just between mighty men, not between Iran and America and Israel. It's not all about that. There are spiritual powers at work in our world today, evil powers battling. And any respite is because the Lord hears the prayers of his people and holds back the floods of evil. Daniel is going to find that much of this truth, given greater detail, is to teach him that the struggles we go through are of a spiritual nature. It's all about Persia and Greece to start with. And in these last verses of chapter 10, what do we see? Well, first of all, we see Daniel reassured of the love of God towards him. He's reminded, he's told, the Lord loves you, Daniel, and he cares for you. And from the moment you started to pray, the Lord is displaying that love to you. The moment you start to really seek the Lord, he will show you his love and his mercy and his kindness. We see, secondly, Daniel asks the Lord to explain. Thirdly, the takeover of power from Persia to Greece involving Alexander the Great was not a mere battle of human strength and brains and military expertise. It involved the Lord fighting with the kings of Persia, the king of Greece assuming power. The Lord continues to have Michael the archangel at his side in this battle. What does the whole chapter teach us? Well, did we think it was all about us? Did we think it's all about our strength to stand for Christ? Did we ever see the Christian life as one-dimensional? I've got so many years left and I've got to serve the Lord as best I can. I must do some more praying, do some more reading the Bible, look for more opportunities. It's not all about us. This chapter teaches us our real enemies are not physical but spiritual. Who is it that persuades you to slacken up and not seek the Lord? To take it easy, to leave it. Don't bother reading the scriptures every day. Don't bother praying. Who is it that persuades you to do that? Is it just your tired muscles and weakened energy? No, it's Satan, a real power who is defeated by Christ at Calvary, but he's still active. If we give him the rope, he can attack us. There are good angels and bad angels. Satan is defeated, but he's still active. Men like Daniel were just ordinary believers like you and me. There was nothing special about Daniel. He wasn't made differently with spiritual muscles instead of ordinary ones. He was a man that God so spoke to that he committed himself to the Lord. The condition of Christ's church is to be a great concern to us. If we can go to bed at night and not worry and not concerned and not even pray because the church is under such attack and Islam is having such power and the darkness of the charismatic movement and all the different enemies to the church seem to be dominating, we should be concerned about it. not to the point where we're depressed, but calling upon the Lord because he is more powerful than any of these things. Only the Lord has the key. Only he has the answer and the grace we need to dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Let's turn to our